really get started, if you are, I know we just kind of passed out, our ushers will be happy to help you. As it's been mentioned already, you can also download our CLC South Bend app. If you haven't already, you can use that to follow along with today's message, as well as stay connected to our church family, so that you can stay updated with any church events. You can provide any personal profile updates and submit any prayer needs and praise reports throughout the week. So please be sure to use that. And of course, again, today's fifth Sunday. It's our family Sunday, and every fifth Sunday, which usually occurs about four times a year, we invite our children and our youth ministries to just take in the lesson with us together as an entire church family. And so it gives us more of a complete family feel during the message, but it also gives our teaching time a little bit of a breather as well, and it allows for them to enjoy the service with their families also. With today being Family Sunday, I thought I'd do something a little bit different and unique. Anybody ever do jumbles? The jumble puzzles. Anybody ever do that? No? Really? Oh, man. That means I got to explain all of this. I thought y'all knew how to do this. Well, basically what a jumble is you have certain words that you have to fill in, and that's going to be all of our 5 points today. And within those words, there's going to be a highlighted letter. If you take those letters out of each one of those words, all of those letters are scrambled to make a whole other word. Everybody get that so far? Students and children, and you know, parents, I'm sure you'll be playing along as well. But this is really for the students and the children to be able to just follow along with today's message. Once you take those letters, you're going to unscramble those letters, and it's going to make one complete word. Now, here's the clue as to what that word's going to be. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, that word is going to be one of the fruit of the Spirit. All right? It's going to be one of the fruit of the Spirit, so you have to figure that out. And if you don't know all of those fruits, you can go to Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, and they'll be listed right there. And so, parents, you can help. That's okay. I know it's probably going to be a little bit of help here and there, and that'll be just fine. But once you fill that out, just write the word as you get it on the top of your outline. You can take that to the connections desk, and they'll give you a little treat, and hopefully you enjoy that. Amen. All right, you guys ready? All right, I'm going to preach this to all two of y'all that's ready. Amen. All right. Okay, so as I mentioned today, we're focused on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit can be tough because there's so much to talk about. There's so much to experience. There's so much to enjoy. There's so much to learn. But as we are talking about this is still going to be a part of our Arise and Shine series. And last week we finished up talking about the Word of God and why the Word of God is so crucial to our faith. Faith is very important, but we do need the Word of God to be solid ground for our faith in order to really be effective. Faith helps us to put into action what we believe, but the Word of God gives us what it is that we actually need to believe in. And so it's the truth that we need to base our actions on. So the Word of God is very important. Nevertheless, as we read God's Word, we study it. How many had that good devotional this week? Amen. Amen. All right, all of you out there. I'm just keeping my head down right on the paper here. And so as we study the Word and as we read the Word of God, and we learn it, we memorize it, we even quote it, you know, during our prayer times and so forth, we still need the power. Somebody say power. We need the power to actually live it. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power. Let me take you to Acts chapter 1 and 8 real quick. And just to give you an introduction to all of that, Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and he talks to his disciples and many of his followers before he ascends into heaven. And here's what he says in Acts 1 and 8. He says, "You shall receive power." Everybody say power one more time. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And while he mentions that to all of his followers that he's in the presence of 2,000 years ago, that message is still relevant to us. He is giving us power so that we can be his witnesses. So the Holy Spirit gives us power to live the Christian life that God's called us to. And while having power on the inside of us is also a great thing, the Holy Spirit also provides something else, and that is a relational connection to God the Father. He is how we relate to God and how God relates to us. And so knowing the Word is important when it comes to understanding God's ways, but having the Holy Spirit really does help us, helps us to relate to God. It helps us to talk back and forth, basically, to God. The words on the pages are good information, but the Spirit in our hearts helps us to understand what God is saying through his Word, okay? Here's a scripture that I want you to keep in mind as well in this series. This is why I feel like it's important to go through this part of this series. And it says from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And this is just a portion of it. It just says simply, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Now, you're probably thinking, Pastor Doug, you're telling me the Bible's going to kill me if I read it? Well, it's going to kill a certain part of you. It's going to kill the fleshly part of you. And that's a good thing, but we don't want to just stay dead. We need the Spirit of God to give life to the Word so that we are living out his Word through the power of his Holy Spirit, not just through the mechanics of legalism, not just through the mechanics of religion, but through an actual relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so again, reading the letters on the pages, I kind of thought of it this way, that when you read the letters on the page of the Bible, it's kind of like getting a text message or an email, because you just see words. And a lot of times, and I know some of you adults may be familiar with this, especially in business, they tell you to be very careful with how you send emails, because you never know what you're communicating to people. You know, if you write in all caps, it feels like you're screaming at people. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that. But sometimes just the words on the pages can be misinterpreted. If you're reading a text message and an email, you can get a whole different impression of what a person means, when they're sending it to you. Sometimes people can take offense to how things get misinterpreted. But when you have the Holy Spirit, it's more than just text messages. It's more like having FaceTime. It's when you can actually see the person. Anybody know what FaceTime is? All right. That's a computer program where you can actually look at a person through your computer screen, and they can see you. You can see them. But so you catch all of their mannerisms. So what they say, you get a better interpretation of what they mean. That's what having the Holy Spirit is like. It's like when I read the Word, I get a better interpretation of what God is saying than just reading the words on the page. Amen. Thank you for getting that. Hallelujah. I was a little nervous about that one. So today, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, much like we did in the last couple of weeks when we went through the message about the Word of God, we talked about how the Word of God can, we looked at several things that we needed to allow the Word of God to be. We're going to do that same thing, take that same approach with the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a few things, and again, it's never going to be an exhaustive, because the Holy Spirit is so many things to us. So is the Word of God. So we just want to look at a few things that the Holy Spirit can be and do in our lives. And so let's start with this first one today. And we're just going to say simply, let the Holy Spirit teach you. Now, we said that about the Word of God, didn't we? So God wants to teach us. There's obviously some things that we have to learn from the Lord, whether it's through his Word or by the power of his Spirit or both. And so when it comes to being taught, what we have to understand, too, when it comes to teaching, the word teachability becomes very significant, which requires humility. Last week, I think I talked to you about how oftentimes, if you look at Galatians 5, it talks about how the flesh wars against the Spirit. So when God is trying to give you new information through his Word or by the power of his Spirit, a lot of times what's in us fights against that. It fights against what God is really trying to give us. And so when it comes to being taught, let the Holy Spirit teach you, there does take a certain level of humility. Let me read this scripture from the book of John, chapter 14. Verse 25 and 26, here's what it says. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this actually is, and here's what he's more relevant than we probably think. But this is happening during the Last Supper with his disciples, and here's what he says to them. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So there's something, the Holy Spirit being a part of God, he's God in spirit inside of us. He will always reflect what the Word of God says. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit in you is going to necessarily quote scripture to you. He may bring to your mind a principle that you learn in a certain scripture, or even a Bible story that you may have learned that reflects a certain principle that just so happens to relate to the situation you're going through right now in that moment. So while the Holy Spirit may not quote, you know, this is what, you know, John 3:16 says, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance passage or a certain feeling that you had when you read a certain passage or a certain piece of information that you need for this particular situation that you're going through. And the Holy Spirit will always speak to you right where you are. That's what's great about having the Holy Spirit. And see, like we read there a minute ago in 2 Corinthians 3, the letter kills. The letter has a tendency to be it can be a bit of a blanket if we let it. Because a lot of times we'll ask ourselves, well, is this wrong? Is this right? Can a Christian do this? And the Holy Spirit will help you to understand what you can do in that moment that somebody else might not be able to do, that you need to do, and vice versa. So the Holy Spirit speaks directly to you. It is God relating to you. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, because if you only have the words on the pages, you might misinterpret. You might get it like a text message email. But the Holy Spirit will give you some FaceTime with God to say, this is what I need you to do. This is how I need you to handle this particular situation right now. There's a story in the Bible about where Peter has a vision, and Jesus is showing him a vision. And what he sees is he sees these animals come down, and what he doesn't realize is that these animals represent the Gentiles. He doesn't understand that just yet. And the Lord tells him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, because he knows what the word says, I'm not supposed to eat these kinds of animals. So how is it that you're telling me to suddenly eat these kinds of animals? And the Spirit reveals to him, understand this, Peter, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm getting ready to use you to take the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ to a whole other sect of people, because it was just for the Jews at that time, and Peter was a Jewish person. But he's saying, I'm getting ready to open this up to the whole world, those who are Jews, those who are Gentiles. If you don't know what Gentiles means, Gentiles just mean people who aren't Jews. So everybody. And Peter, I'm getting ready to use you as a Jewish person who once learned that you're not even supposed to have contact with Gentiles. But now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to do something completely different now. And Peter, when he heard that word, he actually said to the Lord, no, I can't eat that. Because your word tells me, the text message I got from you last week told me that I'm not supposed to eat that. But now here I am looking at you on FaceTime, and I'm recognizing much more clearly what you meant when you said all of that. I recognize it much. And so when we read the words on the page, we got to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us What are you, God, saying to me right now for the situation I'm dealing with? And God may bring up some stuff that ain't even on your mind right then and there. Some things that you wasn't even thinking about. All of a sudden, God just kind of brings it up. You know that person you had that fight with? I wasn't even thinking about them, Lord. I thought I was over that. I was trying to move on. But here you are trying to enlighten me by your power as to what I need to do with that situation. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us according to the word of God. He brings to our remembrance the words that we've read in the scriptures, but he also teaches us what they mean, both in a general sense, but also, most importantly, I think, anyway, in a more personal and specific way for our circumstances. Okay, and one of the things that we can understand, that we can take from the fact that Jesus gives us his spirit is this. Here's one of the things that I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit takes us deeper into what God's word tells us. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I won't read this much. I'll just read a few scriptures starting at verse 9. Well, actually, verse 10. It says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. Now, let me just step back a verse or two. I think most of us know 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 that says, eyes have not seen, ears haven't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man that which the Lord has prepared for them that love him. And then he continues here and says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. For the spirit, listen to this, the spirit searches out, searches everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Things that your mind can't comprehend by itself. Your natural thing. Some things that you won't really be able to relate to just in your natural thinking. He shows us the deep secrets of God. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thought except by his own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the spirit of the world, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. I was sharing earlier, I think it was in our Monday morning meeting, our debriefing meeting, about this coming message. And one of the things that the Lord showed me was that, I don't know if you're familiar with the song that talks about every round goes higher and higher. Anybody familiar with that? Not just my wife, because my wife knows all the songs. My wife knows every song. She knows all the verses. I'm like, man, I didn't even know this song had that many verses. She knows them all. But she even helped me to learn that song about every round goes higher and higher. What I heard the Holy Spirit say to me was, while every round goes higher and higher, the work of the Spirit always goes deeper and deeper. The work of the Holy Spirit goes in places you can't see. The hidden places in our hearts that we've tried to hide so well from everybody else, but God is right there looking dead at it. And we'll bring it up when it's time. So every round goes higher and higher, yes, but the work of the Spirit actually goes deeper and deeper. Now, someone a couple of weeks ago reminded me, and I didn't even know what it was for. I guess it was for this moment, but someone reminded me. I can't even remember who it was, but they said when you're building a building, the higher the building is built, the deeper the foundation has to be. So when God is working in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's taking us into deeper places. A lot of times, places that we kind of have a no enter zone. But in order for our lives to ascend or to grow to the height that God wants to see us grow to, even measures that we would want to see for our own lives, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to go deeper into the foundation of our lives. Now remember, the Word of God is a foundation for us. It's a foundation for our faith So when the Holy Spirit is taking us into a deeper foundation, what he's doing is he's taking us deeper into the Word of God. He's giving us a deeper revelation of what the Word of God means. Whether it's something that he's got to reveal in your heart to share with someone else, or whether it's something that he's got to reveal to you to reveal about you. The foundation is the Word of God. But there's more to it than what you see on the pages. And in order to see it, you've got to let the Holy Spirit take you deeper and deeper into what God means, what his word means. As you do that, what you'll start to find is your life going higher and higher in God. You're growing to higher heights this way, as the Holy Spirit is doing a deeper work this way. Now, understand that the deeper work of the Holy Spirit will take you to some places that don't make a whole lot of sense to you. It will take you into some places that you haven't necessarily seen before, that places that you can't look at how mom and dad did church and then think, okay, well, that's just how my life's going to go, I guess. No, God's going to go deeper into you in things that you probably don't even realize about yourself. But you have to allow that. And the Holy Spirit will oftentimes take you into situations to help you see it. That's why after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, now he's got the Holy Spirit, but that's not the end of the journey. Same Holy Spirit now leads Jesus into a testing place for how well he's getting ready to use this spirit power. And he's being tempted of the devil now in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. As he's doing that, he passes each of those tests, if you will. And what we see there is that his life is now deeply founded in the Word of God. So when God is trying to do a deeper work in your life, he's going to work in you through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will either give you revelation or he will have to use a stick of dynamite. Stick of dynamite. What do I mean by that? I mean explosive situations that won't get your attention any other way. Reality awaken you to a deeper reality of what God is doing in your life, so that you all of a sudden have a deeper understanding. And if you're not careful, as we've said before, God wants that explosion to do one thing, the enemy wants it to do something else. And most times, when you're having that explosive situation going on in your life, if you're not equipped with the Word of God, then it gives a clear passageway for the enemy to take you into the place where it destroys you, instead of building you up the way God desires to. I'll try at least to give you an example. We've been talking about David, the life of David, on Wednesday nights. Most people know David and Goliath as, you know, the challenge in front of David. The reality is, when David confronted Goliath, David was like, what is this uncircumcised Philistine? Man, I don't need no arm. Just give me this rock. Slap you upside the head, knock you out, take your own sword, cut your head off. But when it came to dealing with Saul, that's a whole different story. The king that was supposed to be on his side, the king who invited him, David, who invited David to live in his house, this became the greater threat to his life. And it made him more scared to the point where he was on the run, running for his life. Now, when I've got that story in mind, and I run into some situations that look a whole lot like David's situation, why is this boss throwing spears in my head? Why are these people assaulting me? All of a sudden, I start to remember, why art thou cast down, O my soul? See, I ain't get too many amens because I'm wondering, y'all realize I just quoted scripture, right? I'm just checking. That's a psalm that David wrote. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou, and so you got to say it, I can't remember one scripture in the NLT or the NIV. You got to guys have some King James if you're going to quote this thing right. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Amen. Now you can try to remember that in the Message translation if you want to. I ain't got nothing against the Message translation. I love the Message translation. But if I'm not armed with that, I'll look at situations thinking that this is getting ready to be my demise when it's actually getting ready to be my victory. I'm thinking it's getting ready to put me in the grave when it's actually trying to put me on the throne. So you've got to know the word, but you've got to let the Spirit of God bring it back to your remembrance. So he will teach you how to deal with this situation, how to deal with this present situation, this present darkness, how to deal with this present relationship. So Pastor John Jones, who was here a couple weeks ago, him and his family, they came. He gave that axiom, he called it, that healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. That means if I'm healthy, if I'm a tree that's healthy, then my roots have to go all the way down into the ground. The higher that tree is going to grow, the deeper the roots have to be. And the roots have to go deep first before the tree can elevate. Can't be the other way around. So if there's going to be growth in your life, there's going to be a submission to the Holy Spirit and his work that takes us deeper. So if Jesus is going to heal blinded eyes, that's great, but we're going to have to face the devil first. Not the other way around. We got to make sure these roots are in deep so that when life hits you, just like we talked about from Matthew 7, when the rains come and the rooted in there and the winds blow, your life is founded on the word of God. But it's rooted in there and can stand strong because of the Holy Spirit in you. That's why the book of Jude talks about building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You ain't heard that term in a while, have you? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So as we grow higher, there has to first be some depth. And so we have to let the Holy Spirit teach us what the Word of God is saying to us more specifically, and then let him take us through the situations that he needs to give us firsthand training in what we need to grow in. Amen. So let the Holy Spirit teach you. Number two, let the Holy Spirit lead you and let him guide you. One of the the most important, I guess, instructions that I would have for this in letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us is to quiet ourselves and to be still and to listen. What do I hear the Holy Spirit saying about this? If my emotions get all frazzled and crazy, it will be hard to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's why you oftentimes hear me talking about making sure that there's nothing wrong with you having emotions. The goal is not to not have emotions. But they can't drive. They can ride in the back seat, but they can't drive. They can't take control. They can't be the driving force for my decision making to respond to a situation. I have to let the Holy Spirit do that. I have to let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me. And in order to do that, I've got to quiet myself and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I've got to find some time, some space, maybe a quiet place to just shut things off and just let God speak to my heart. God, you see exactly what's going on. You know the answer that I need. Can you please let me know what I need to do here? Get quiet and listen. Let him lead you and guide you. Write the scripture down. Psalm 16:11. We've read this several times. Even in this this particular year, we've read this a couple of times. But in Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, "You will show me the path of life. You will show me the path of life." Now, the part that we usually get focused on is in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that's good. It's important to know that. I wouldn't take that away from you. But we rarely talk about the "you will show me the path of life" part of that. You will show me the steps that not only lead to life, but the steps that actually have life in them. So while the Word of God is a light or a lamp to my feet that shows me where I am, it's a light to my path that shows me where I'm going. The Holy Spirit shows me that path and draws me to himself. So while the Word of God is here trying to show me where I am and where I'm going, the Holy Spirit is here trying to bring me to himself. Because wherever God is leading you, he's not only with you in the journey, he's trying to bring you closer to where he is. And when you get here, guess what's going to happen? You're going to experience the fullness of joy. Because he's showing you the path of life, the steps you need to take that lead you to the place of real fulfillment. So, in my own life, and I know I talk about this a lot, but in my own life, I had different plans than becoming a pastor. Did y'all know that? Have I said that before? I had different plans. Not that I had anything against being a pastor. But I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it at all. But there was a path I had to walk, a path I had to travel, where now that it's brought me here, I sense the fullness of my life and the fulfillment of God more so now than ever before in my life. And it's not because he's brought me to be a pastor. It's because he's brought me to where he is in my life, where he was drawing me close. Now, I don't know where he's drawing you. I don't know what God is calling you to, but let him show you, let him lead you, let him guide you, let him show you the path of life, and don't get frustrated when doors you thought would fly open stay closed. And the door that's open to you don't really appeal to you all that much. Like, that's the door I gotta, I like this nice, pretty door. That door looks like it's falling off the hinges. I got to go through that. What's on the other side of that? Your life. A fulfilled life. If you got enough courage to go through it. I didn't even read the scripture yet. I'm sorry. John 16. Still at that Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus is. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. I don't know exactly what he means by that, but I sense in my own heart is all the truth that's true about you. All the truth that's true about the life he has for you. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Am I supposed to do this? No, not that. Am I supposed to do this? Well, at some point, maybe. Am I supposed to do this? There it is, right there. That's the truth about you that I know that you don't necessarily know yet. But if you would say yes to it, you're going to find more fulfillment in your life than you ever would have doing anything else. He will lead you, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, are talking the same talk. If somebody tells you something is Holy Spirit, and it's not talking Word of God, just, you know, try the Spirit to see if they be of God. Amen. See if they be of God. And really let God give you some listening ears, because the devil knows the word too. But the Holy Spirit knows the word that's right for you right now in this moment. Amen. So let him lead you. Let him guide you. Number three, let him help you. Somebody just say, help. Help. Amen. Are y'all getting those letters, by the way? That's like capital E. Let him help you. John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. I never put these two statements together before. But if you love me, keep my commandments. God's going to send you a helper. If you love me, keep my commandments. God's getting ready to send you a helper. What I hear in that is I love God and I want to keep his commandments, but I need some help. And it never connected to me these two scriptures or these two statements from Jesus combining in him understanding, listen, I know you're going to need some help doing this. I'm instructing you to keep my commandments, all the things that I've taught you, all the things that I have shared with you. I'm here right now before you helping you to keep them, but at the same time, I recognize that after I'm gone, you're going to still need my help, and I'm going to send you that help through the Holy Spirit. He will send you another helper. Verse 17, let me finish 16 here. And I will pray that the Father will send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, that is a capital S. And when you see capital S, of course, that means Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, and he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I like that word orphans there, even though in the King James Version, it talks about, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, comfortless and orphan, that sounds way different to me. But I like this word orphans because, as we just sang earlier, I'm no orphan anymore. The Spirit of God in Romans chapter, we are, says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. That we are children, adopted children of God. So we are no longer orphans, and we have that confirmation by the Spirit of God. He is the seal that tells us that we belong to God. We belong to the Father. So we are no longer orphans. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The best way to get help is to ask for it. Yeah. Ask for it. Yes, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. But there are times when you just need to ask. And a lot of times he will prod you. You need my help. Ask me. Here, I've been waiting on you. I want some help. God, can you help me? Yes. I'm here. I've been waiting on you. Because this is your life. You have the right to choose and to say no, to say yes. But I would encourage you to say yes. So I'm nudging you. I'm letting you endure some situations that will bring you to your knees and humble you to the point where you have no other choice but to ask me for help. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the helper. The best way to get help is to ask for it. And pride oftentimes can keep us from asking for help. But God is more than willing to help us. Let me read you these two scriptures and then we'll move on to point four. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing but in everything with prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Just tell him what you want. Amen. It sounds like an old song. Tell him what you want. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've always loved those two scriptures combined because while one is telling you, tell God what you want, the other one is not necessarily telling you God's going to do exactly that. But he will give you his peace just to keep you in the midst. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but there are several times when I had to literally silence my own inner voice, get this scripture in mind, not really care about the results of my prayer, but make my request known to the Lord. And trust that in all of my anxiety and frustration or whatever, and trust that after I'm done praying, that the peace of God will calm my heart. Every time I have consciously done this, it has worked. Every single time. I can't even tell you what the results of the prayer was. I didn't really care. God gave me such peace that it didn't even matter. It doesn't even matter anymore how you work the situation out, God. It's well with my soul now. There go another song. I'm singing this thing. Woo. It's well. However you do it at this point, it doesn't even matter anymore, Lord. Because the peace of God, see, peace of God isn't just, you got the kids to bed and the house is quiet. The peace of God keeps you in the midst of turmoil. The peace of God will keep you in the midst of all kinds of crazy. When everything is in an uproar, as long as the winds and the wave are quiet in here, it doesn't matter what's going on out here. The peace of God is guarding my heart and mind by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, it says this, verse 15, says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our, weakness, with our weaknesses. But he was at all points tempted, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let him help you. He wants to help you. Here's one of the ways that he helps us. Number four, he empowers you. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. Make sure you're getting those letters too. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Somebody say power. The power of the Holy Spirit. We need power in this hour. We need the power of God. We need the power of God if we're going to see miracles, signs and wonders, if we're going to see the dead raised, if we're going to see the lame walk, if we want to see blinded eyes open, if we want to see deaf ears unclogged, we need power for all of those miracles. But I don't want to talk about those miracles just yet. Because we need power for that. And a lot of times when we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, we think of the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. And that's important. That is so good. And we need it. And I want it in my own life. But between miracles, there's some everyday life that we need power for. Because we can't get stuck in a mindset that says, I need power to lay hands on the sick, but somehow I got to go to work on my own strength. Or to somehow my home life and my marriage and my raising of my children are somehow done in my own power. Like suddenly I don't need the power of God to raise three kids. Like somehow I don't need the power of God to submit to this crazy boss. I need some power for that. I need power when offenses come in relationships and tries to tear us apart and I want to go my way and say, psh, I don't want to deal with you anymore. Now, the foundation of the Word of God says, if I know somebody's got something against me, then leave my gift and go be reconciled. But if I don't have some power, if I don't have some Holy Spirit conviction that says that, Doug, you need to get that done or we're not going another step. This is high as your building going to go. Widen that foundation. Because until you let me work in your heart to widen that foundation so that you can go up a little bit higher, until you let that finished work go, until you let that work happen in your life, this is high as you go. Let me say again, healthy things grow. So if I'm stuck here, guess what's happening? Or guess what's not happening? I'm not growing. And anything that's not growing is dying. So when the Holy Spirit brings me to this place, and says, remember the word of God says, I think we need to handle this, Doug. It's the Holy Spirit challenging me to go deeper so that my life can grow higher. So that my life can not just grow higher, but that my life expresses more of the fruit of the Spirit. So God wants us to have a growing, fruitful life that only happens when we allow him to take us deeper into the Word of God. And the deeper we go, the higher we grow. Man. So God wants to give us power. Yes, power to raise the dead, power to lay hands on the sick and they recover, power to do all those things, power to work in the gifts of the Spirit, the healing, the faith, the tongues, the prophecy, all those things. But there's some everyday life. You need just as much Holy Ghost power to get through. So let him give you power. Let him empower you. Last one. Let the Holy Spirit free you. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so the Lord is taking us from glory to glory. He's taking us high. Every round is going higher and higher while the work of the Spirit is going deeper and deeper. Freedom or liberty, but I'll just call it freedom. Freedom in our human thinking can sometimes be misplaced in that we think that freedom means the ability to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. With no accountability and no authority telling me what I can and can't do. And from a biblical standpoint, that's not what freedom means. From a biblical standpoint, freedom means being loosed from fleshly or even demonic, satanic powers to be able to live for God. When I'm free from my own sinful bondages, and I can actually, by the power of God, live for God. That's freedom. From a biblical perspective. That's what God means when he says, I want you to be free. Because there is no, see, we can't, a lot of thinking can't really, I'm sorry to use this word, can't jive with this. Because we humanistically think that freedom means that I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But real freedom is a place that produces life. You will not find life outside of God. You will not find life apart from God. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're detached from me, you're going to wither and die. Freedom actually loosens you from your desire to be apart from me and actually gives you access to be connected to me so that you can have the life that I've called you to. That's what freedom means from a biblical perspective. And that's what the Spirit gives us. He gives us liberty. He gives us the ability to actually do what God says do. Going back to Galatians 5, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us to overcome our fleshly desires so that we walk in the Spirit so that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Last one. Here's your bonus for today. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do some good things in us and through us. And as I mentioned, this is not an exhaustive list. He wants to do a whole lot in your life. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we first receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Once we've done that, if there's a deeper work that the Spirit is going to do, then we simply ask. Let me read this to you from John 7. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. He hadn't been crucified and risen from the grave. But he says, if anybody thirsts, just come get it. Come and receive it. Luke 11 and 11. It says, if a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, for some of us, having the Holy Spirit simply means speaking in tongues or running wild in a church service. And I hate to say it that way, but sometimes that's the association many of us have with it, that we just kind of have an emotional explosion in a church service, and we say that person caught the Holy Ghost. And while, yes, the Holy Spirit can show up in that form, that's not the end goal, is a wild church service. And again, I'm not trying to, if you see that in a church service, great, let that go, let that happen. That's just not the end goal. The end goal is really a life in Christ that's lived for his glory, that we're empowered to live for God. And so whether that's forgiving someone because they offended us, whether that's just an act of kindness towards someone just because God's love has overtaken us, or whether that's laying hands on the sick and they recover, whether that's giving a prophetic word, whether that is just having the faith to believe God for miracles, whether that's speaking in tongues, whether that's interpreting tongues, regardless of how that manifests, we want to make sure that it's God that's getting the glory. And it's not just about me having an emotional experience. It's good to have that, but that's just not where it ends. It doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit wants to do all these things and more. He wants to do all these things and more. And he wants, if you have not received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you know the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you, you may find yourself speaking in tongues. But what you should find more so than that is yourself living a life that desires to glorify God. Amen. So that offer's on the table today. And I don't mean to put it too common, but that's what's here in this moment. And not from me, but really from the Lord. That's what's here in this moment. God wants to fill you. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, he wants to fill you. And if you're already filled, he wants to refresh you. He wants to top you off with an overflowing drink of his Spirit. He doesn't just top you off. He just keeps going. The Bible talks about receiving the Spirit without measure. He just wants to overflow in you. Amen. So I'm going to have our team, they're going to play I'm going to have our prayer team come. You guys can come right now. But I want to offer this to you, receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the other thing, too. Biblically speaking, somebody up here may feel led by the Holy Spirit to lay hands on you. Can you? I'm just going to encourage you. If that's you, can you just let that happen? Here's why. Because the scriptures talk about when Paul ran into certain believers, he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we didn't even know there was a such thing. And so when Paul dealt with them, he ended up baptizing them in water. But it also says that he laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So if someone lays hands on you, can you just let that happen? Because they're trying to encourage an atmosphere that's just awakening something in you that's grabbing what God's trying to pour in. Amen. So if that's you today, don't hesitate. Let's just come on. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, let's just come on. Amen. I was gonna let you all sing. I just want you all to play right now, though. You feel like singing? Yeah, sing a little bit of that. Yeah, our worship team. I've shared my own personal testimony with this a few times. I got saved when I was 6 years old. I got baptized when I was 7, baptized again when I was 12, because I understood it a little better. When I really felt the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was in college. I think I was a freshman in college. Had a prayer meeting. And some people prayed for me, laid hands on me, and I could not stand under the weight of what was being poured out. I didn't understand why something was heavy on me, even though nothing was on me. And I couldn't stand, and I just had to go down. It was a very peaceful moment. I was glad to go down, because I had seen it before. I never knew what people were experiencing. And some of you may not have had that baptism of the Holy Spirit and may be wondering, well, what does that feel like? I'm a little afraid. When I've seen it, it's looked like people are losing their minds. And you're not losing your mind. You're actually gaining the mind of Christ. And there's no better mind to have. And something in you is responding to the King and His Majesty. And something in you has to bow. It just has to bow. You don't want to stand. You feel King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And I'm telling you, it's a precious, precious moment. We came back the next day for another prayer gathering. And all of a sudden, we broke out into a praise. And I just began to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The next thing I knew, I was saying something, and my heart was trying to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, but my mouth was saying something totally different. And before I knew it, I was speaking in tongues. And what excited me about it is I kept hearing myself say the word Oshé. And I knew that that was an African word that meant thank you. And I had just finished saying in English, thank you, Lord Jesus. Something in my mouth kept saying, Oshé. And I felt like my mouth was still saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, just in a spiritual language that I didn't even comprehend all the way. It was almost like God just gave me that confirming word to let me know, this is me. So the Holy Spirit is a free gift to you. This is an excellent moment. If you haven't received that gift, to just come and receive that gift that will stay with you forever. That will encourage you in every situation. That will lead you and guide you in every situation. Even help you to see some things that's ahead of you to help you avoid danger. Even give you some prophetic things that will help you to know how to live your life in ways that you could have never figured out in your own thinking. So I'm just going to leave this invitation here and say, just come on. Just come on. Maybe you need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need a recap. You need something that just revitalizes you. But I'm just inviting you into this moment right now. To say, come. Let the Spirit of the Lord have His way in your life, in this moment. All you've got to do is ask for it.
Behold the way, the truth, and the life. Perfect Savior. yes, it's Jesus. Redemption has a name. Oh, it's Jesus.
We're getting ready to dismiss. But if there's something you still need of the Holy Spirit in this moment, we have people that will tarry with you as long as it takes. So if there's something you still need to receive, there are people here that will wait with you, that will wait upon you as you wait upon the Lord. But we're going to dismiss right now. So let's lift our hands. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for power. Power to live right. Power to live according to your word. Power, Lord God, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Thank you for power to forgive those who sin against us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for power to prophesy. Power, Lord God, to speak in unknown tongues. And thank you, Lord God, for power to just have compassion, to be givers, to be servants, Lord, to one another. Thank you for power, Lord, to submit to authority. Thank you for your Holy Spirit power, Lord, that leads us and guides us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, let that same Holy Spirit lead us throughout our days, Lord, throughout these coming weeks, months, and years, Lord, for your kingdom glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you are still in need of prayer, we invite you to come. Hug some people before.